Glory be to the Blessed Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, both now and ever, in ages of ages. Amen. Respected Achins, beloved parents, loving children in Christ, brothers and sisters. It is my understanding that the Church has entered into looking into a particular theme for this whole year. And we are starting off that theme this Sunday as the Church commemorates the Annunciation to Zechariah of St. John the Baptist, the birth of St. John the Baptist. And we see many interventions happening as we come closer and closer to the Nativity of our Lord, to the Incarnation of our Lord. And we see God working through individuals. We see God working in lives of individuals, preparing individuals to receive Christ. We see Christ's incarnation forward, but at the same time, it is very important to look at where we are today in the life of the Church. And the theme that we see in this particular passage, as we have the passage is taken from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 5 through 25, is the fact that God has a particular time in which He intervenes in our life. At the same time, we see God's time sometimes coming in conflict, at least it seems like it is in conflict with the time of man. Oftentimes, when we think of God's plan, when we think of God's will, when we think of God's time, of course we know God knows what's the best for us. We know that God will not give us anything more than we cannot handle. We know God will give us what is always good. He didn't create evil, therefore He won't give us evil. We know that God is there for the right purposes in our life. But oftentimes, though we believe it in our head, we don't have a conviction in our heart. We may believe that God has a particular plan for us, and it will be happening in a particular time that God knows is proper for us, but we do not believe it with a conviction in our heart. And that's something very important to realize about ourselves. Oftentimes, living in the secular world, we become very impatient. We become very much thinking about our own self. We want instant gratification. We want it now. We cannot wait even a moment, a second. We want what is convenient for us. We want what is easy for us. We want instantaneous everything. Oftentimes, living in this society, the Western society, and I would say how the West is influencing the whole world now, we think that getting instant soup, soup ready, putting it in the microwave and having it ready in 1 minute, that our spiritual lives work the same way. We think that we could grow spiritually within a minute, or within a day, or within a week, or within a month. While the truth is that it takes a whole lifetime, the lifetime that God gives us, to work on our salvation, to work on our own repentance. And we're able to see this in the life of Elizabeth and Zechariah. We see them being righteous. We see them being righteous though they didn't have children, though they did not have everything that they wanted in their life. They still remain righteous. They still remain faithful to God. And they utilize the time that God gave them for a good purpose, which is continuing to grow towards the likeness of God, to remaining in holiness. We see another example of how God's time is a reflection of God's mercy and God's love. And we're able to see this in an Old Testament story. It is a story of Cain and Abel. We know the story of Cain and Abel. We know that Cain murders Abel. And we know in the Old Testament when somebody kills someone, automatically the punishment is that person is either stoned or killed. But we don't see Cain being killed. We see something different. In fact, we see God speaking to Cain in a conversation. And we see Cain realizing what he did. He repents and says, I understand what I did was wrong. Killing my brother was wrong. Indeed, it was wrong. And give me the punishment. He even tells God, I do not deserve to live. Take my life away. But God doesn't do what Cain asked him to do. God actually does the opposite. God actually blesses him and says, I will make sure that you live. I will make sure that not only will you live, that I will have a mark, a sign on you so that no one will harm you. And the question that we ask ourselves is this, why was it important for God that Cain should be living? It wasn't important for Cain to live, for himself to live. But it was important that for God that Cain lives. And we see God's love and mercy in the fact that Cain was given the blessing to live on. And that is so that he may repent. If he were to be killed by someone, if he died right after he killed his brother Abel, then he would not have time to repent. He would not have time to work on his salvation. But God blessed him with time so that he may think of what he did and continue on repenting and living in holiness. How many of us see the time that God has given you today as an opportunity, as a time to work on your relationship with God? How many of us see the time that God has given you today as an opportunity to repent and to change? Because every second, every moment of your life, every minute that you are breathing is an opportunity to know Christ, to live in His likeness, to grow towards perfection. But we want to do our own things. We take what God gives us time with, that time, we waste it. Like the prodigal son wasting the wealth of his father, we waste the time. We waste our time by doing unnecessary things that has nothing to do with our salvation. And you might say, wait, Ibishan Masha may be talking about my work and my school and everything else that I'm doing that may not be quote-unquote spiritual. That is not true. If you take up a role of whatever that you do as an occupation, if you take up a role as a father, as a mother, or a mother, or a son, or a daughter, you doing those roles to the best of your ability with the time that God has given you is doing God's will. If you are able to do your job to the best of your ability, if you put 100% of your time and energy to do that to the best of your ability, you're doing God's will. And we may think that has nothing to do with God. No. Everything that God has given you, God expects the fact that we live up to those responsibilities and that we take the time that God has given us and the energy to do those things. It may be a very simple thing as cleaning the house. It could be a very simple thing as reading a book. It could be a very simple thing as even sharing the love that you receive from Christ. But when you do that, you are doing the will of God. Everything that is right, everything that is good, everything that is holy, when you do it the proper way, you are living the life of Christ. And this, oftentimes, we completely miss the mark of what God wants us to do. Christ says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be given to you. See, oftentimes, we seek everything except the kingdom of God. We seek things that are material. We seek wealth. We seek pride. We seek positions. But we don't work. We don't work for the glory of God. We do everything for our own glory. And oftentimes, we ask ourselves, what does God want me to do with my life? You know, when is God going to give me that job that I'm looking for? When is God going to give me X, Y, and Z? And we ask these questions over and over and over again. And these questions bother us until we get an answer. And all these questions come from not trusting God enough. God knows what we need in our life even before we ask. But we don't have enough trust in Him to say that by in due time, in God's favorable time, He will give it to me. And you might ask, why is He delaying it? Why does He delay things to be given to us? And that we are able to understand by looking at a relationship between between parents and children. If a toddler, if a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old toddler goes to his parents and says, I want to drive the car, what would the parents say? Oh, right, go ahead, here are the keys, go drive. Would the parents ever say that? Would a loving parent say that? No. Why? Because the parent knows that the child hasn't grown enough. The child hasn't matured enough to drive. The child hasn't reached the age or the growth enough to know to drive, to know how to follow rules, to have a balanced steering wheel, all those things that comes along with knowing how to drive. But from the point of view of the child wants it now, and the child won't take no as an answer. Oftentimes we become like that child. We become like that child and say, God, I want it now, and I'm not going to take no for an answer. While God is saying, if I give you this now, it's going to be harmful to you. If I give this now to you, not only will it be harmful to you, but you will be harming others with that. But are we willing to patiently listen to the Word of God, to listen to God's will and say, Lord, it's not my will, but your will. It is not about my time, but your time. And oftentimes we never get anywhere in our life because we caught up in these anxieties, these fears that we have in our life. Using that same car analogy, those of you who are driving, we know the rear mirror, when we look at the rear mirror, it's to help us to see what's behind us. But you won't be able to drive properly forward and move forward if you are looking at that rear mirror throughout your life. Oftentimes we live in this life we call a journey, and we only look back and say, oh my God, what have I done? All the mistakes that I've made. You know, what's behind me, we don't leave it behind. And we never are able to go forward because of that. At the same time, if you look forward and you say, oh, there's a truck that's coming in front of me. Oh, there's that cop that is waiting to get me. There's so many things that's coming forward, and I'm not able to go forward because of that. Will you ever move forward?
No.
We become anxious and worried about what's going to be happening next day, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Therefore, we don't want to go into the next day itself. At the same time, we look back and say, what have I done? And all these worries and this guilt that we're not willing to let go. But what God asks you to do today is to do the best with what you can, with what God has given you today. That is why He says, look at the lilies. Look at the birds in the air. You know, they only live for the moment. Can we ever be in the moment in our life? We are everywhere except at the moment. Can we ever attend liturgy without our mind wandering around all over the place? Oftentimes we become more anxious and more fearful and more worried when we don't think of the present moment. And we only think about everything else except that. So when God expects us, when it comes to God's time, is that He's waiting. If you're asking God for something, and if you feel that He is silent, He's not silent. He is acting the very moment, even though you may feel that He is silent. He is acting and He's waiting in terms of your growth, for your maturity, so that you may not say that God is out there to get me. Fear is for children. Fear is for children. Love is for those who are mature in Christ. When we know the love of Christ, we trust Him. If we trust Him, then we will wait for Him. We will wait for Him to intervene in our life. And we are able to see that through the life of Christ. And we are able to slowly grow towards the mind of Christ, which we are working on. As we develop our mind towards Christ, may this be a lesson for all of us. Because the adversary, the father of lies, the devil will tell you in your heart that God is playing with you. God is playing mind games with you. God is playing, you know, chess with the world. And the adversary wants to tell you that so that you may break your relationship with God and you may not trust Him. So let us not listen to the adversary, the father of lies, the devil, and let us listen to Christ, as He is a loving parent, a loving father, who only wishes that we may be growing towards likeness of Him, for the glory of the God, of Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, both now and ever, in the ages of ages.